And I'm going to talk about destiny. It's one of my favorite subjects these days. And while we were worshiping, and my mind was going back to some of the things that God was doing this last week, and I love miracles, I love healing, I love deliverance. You know, God is just doing some awesome things, and we are so grateful. And I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to share today, and the word destiny just kept coming back over and over and over and over and over again. So the title of this message is Living Our Destiny, and specifically focusing on the Elijah generation. And what I like to call in the Elijah generation is anyone who is, say, 35 and under. But particularly those that are just, you know, teenagers going to 20s, early 30s. And, yeah. So, step number one. These are steps into realizing our destiny. And you'll see this as it unfolds here this morning. Step number one, believe your destiny is held in His promises, in the promises of God. And I just got a couple of paragraphs here that I want to just refer to before we go into letter A. Everything we say and do will declare the destiny of our life and this city. Let me say that again. Everything we say, do, will declare the destiny of our life and this city. We will determine the fulfillment of our destiny on purpose. Did you get that? We will determine the fulfillment of our destiny on purpose. It's not going to happen by accident. It's on purpose. There is a manifestation of healing and deliverance already. More to come. More people are going to be coming to faith in Jesus, delivered, healed, because of our destiny. Because this is our destiny. And our destiny is with this generation that is coming up. This fits for the last days. The Elijah generation. The heart of the fathers. The heart of the fathers, that means parents. The heart of the parents turning to the children and the children to the fathers. What we're seeing in this generation, this is what I love about this place called Restoration, is that I, as a man that's being retired, at this age of my life, I can connect with the younger generation because I just love who they are and what they are and what they represent. But we are joining together the generations, the older with the younger with the older. There's a restoration of all that has been neglected, forgotten, and stolen. There's a revelation of the Father's heart to His children. And we live in now what we call an orphaned generation, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually in many other ways as well. An orphaned generation. So out of this generation will come a heart to know Father, in intimate ways not known to the previous generations. And what's so exciting for me this morning as a grandfather is to have my grandchildren here with us this morning. Jasmine and Levi are right up front. And for whatever reason, they wanted to be with Grandma and Grandpa, okay, instead of going to children's church. But what was so exciting to me is we went up and took communion, and we were knelt on the floor, and I was explaining to them what communion was all about. All at once, it dawned on me again that it is my responsibility to train the younger generation to know and understand who Jesus is and what He's come to be and do. And here's what I believe, Justin and Tara. This whole thing, going back 2 years ago, and there's several others in this fellowship that have not been able to give birth to children that they sensed that God had promised to them, and it didn't happen. Very, very, very difficult for a number of our young couples in this fellowship. And it's 6 or 8 of either miscarriages or stillborns over the last 2 or 3 years. And what I believe, here's what I sense in my spirit, is that the enemy is trying to stop the next generation from growing up, from being born first, and then growing up and becoming what the older generation has developed into, the Ryans and Rileys and Rorys and all the R guys, and all the young women. Well, I saw Casey, yeah, and yeah, all you gals. The power of God's presence in your lives, in your generation. You had a voice for God that spoke something in your generation that was so powerful for this community that the enemy was taking notice. And so he was saying, in essence, I'm going to stop this. This isn't going to happen again. And in essence, as it were, there was like a curse over this people for the generation that was going to be born and raised up. And so what we have done, and Sharon and I, Wednesday morning, we were praying for Justin and Tara. And Justin had already asked me if I would share this morning, because he wasn't sure that he could be ready. And to be honest with you, I wasn't excited about it. Because there was something in me that was saying, oh no, here we go again. And then I got mad. I got ticked off at the enemy. And when we went to prayer Wednesday morning with Justin and Tara, Sharon and I went, we were in full war mode. If you know what I'm talking about, when Sharon and I get into that, we joined together, and I just sensed this was not about death, this was about life. And so the rest is history. You heard the story. And so what I'm suggesting to you, we are breaking off the curse of death in the natural and the supernatural in this fellowship, in this city, in this place. The curse of death is being broken. And so we are entering into a destiny, the promises of our destiny, like never before. So number one, I believe your destiny is held in your promises. Let's say that together. Father God, I believe my destiny is held in your promises. The favor and blessing of God follows his promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. That's the first verse of scripture we want to look at. All the promises of God. And let's face it, there are many promises that we don't even realize. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 20. Was it? No, 1 verse 20. Okay. I was in 1 Corinthians. No wonder it didn't make sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, are yes, and in him, amen. Let's say that together. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Through who? Through us. How does God work out his promises? Through us. Through us. Through us. So our relationship with God is about the promises of God to us and with us and for us and through us and in us. The written as well as the unwritten. The spoken as well as the unspoken. The Logos, the written word of God, as well as the Rhema, the revelation that comes daily to us from God. But let me encourage you and warn you that there tends to be an ungodly belief that develops out of this. And the ungodly belief is something like this. If I do more for God, he will finally bless me and show me his favor. If I do more for God, he will finally bless me and show me his favor. That's an ungodly belief. What's the godly belief? The godly belief is God's favor and blessing is upon me no matter how much I do for him. God's favor and blessing is upon me no matter what the circumstances of life in the past have been or even in the present. So what's the action? The action is that I have to choose to exchange a slave death mentality to a son life mentality. A son does not have to earn the rights of sonship because according to what God has told us, we're already royalty. We're already kings and priests. You're an insider, not an outsider with God because of Jesus. Say that with me. I am an insider, not an outsider with God because of Jesus. So, and I've said this so many times and I wanted to say it again. This comes from an old hymn that goes back to the 1600s, and this was one of the phrases. Nearer to God, nearer I cannot be, for in His Son I am just as near as He. Nearer to God, nearer to God, nearer I cannot be, for in His Son, Jesus, I am just as near as He. I'm just as near to God as Jesus is. Say that with me. I am just as near to God as Jesus is. That is His promise. That is His promise. And I'm thinking more and more that this is one of the first promises that we have to hang on to and refuse to let go of. Because it is a yes and amen. It is a yes and amen. Point B, when I am touched by the giving heart of God, that is what I become. When I'm touched by the giving heart of God, that's what I become. I've said it so many times. We are what we say because our heart speaks through our mouth. And when we are touched in our heart by the giving heart of God, and that is what we begin to declare and speak and believe and trust in, then that becomes our nature and character, just like God's nature and character. So favor from God is permission. Favor from God is permission to ask, to seek, and to knock. Favor from God reaches into the high and into the deep. Favor from God is like rapid fire production and reproduction. So, in believing my destiny and the destiny that God has called me to be and to do, let my attention become yours, God. Let my attention become yours, God, that your intention would match mine. You get that? God, let my attention become yours so that your attention and intention becomes mine. So what do I have to do? I have to learn the language of promise and intentionality. God is intentional about what He says. God is intentional about what He says, and so should we be. So God says, run into my favor. Refuse negativity. Run into me. Race into me. Refuse to be governed by past time or events. Cast aside all that is limitation. Because with God, measurement no longer exists. All things are for your favor. Pressed down, shaken together, spilling over. Unmeasurable, unmeasurable blessing. That's His promise to us. That's what we should believe. So, what is God doing? God is He is pronouncing to us and over us His nature and character. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's good for us to review these things. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read, pick it up with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. Incidentally, in Scripture, do you notice how often you read about grace and peace and it always goes in that order? First grace, then peace. What does that tell us? In the order of God, we must first experience the grace of God before we'll have the peace of God. Yeah. Notice what verse 3 says. His divine power has given to us all things. What's all mean? All means all, and that's all means. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. But key verse 4, by which we have been given, he has been given to us exceedingly great and precious, precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, the very nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to escape from all that is corruption in this world and hold on to the promise of God which he has given to us, that we are just as near to God as Jesus is, because we are his divine nature being expressed in every situation of life around us. So, believe it. Second, declare your destiny. Not only believe it, but declare it. Declare what God has shown you. Do you make that your practice? Do you declare? Are we declaring every single day in one way, shape, or form what God has promised to us? We should be. Why does God call us to declare what he has shown to us, what his revelation to us is? The reason why we declare it is because that's how God communicates with words. There is the Logos word, which is the living word, the written word, the word of God, which we have and we read and we study. And the verb form of the word Logos is Lego. Does that mean anything to you? How many of you got Legos? Yeah. How many played with Legos? Built things with Legos? You have, haven't you, Levi? Built things with Legos. You love Legos. So what is God in the business of? God is in the business of building things. If you look at the word for the word in the Old Testament, it's the word dabar, and it's a Hebrew word which means to arrange something. So put these two translations or these two words together from the Hebrew and the Greek language, and you have something that is being built or something that is being arranged into thoughts or into language. It is sharp and it is accurate. Hebrews 4:12, you remember that verse? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, what does God do? He arranges words. And the reason why God arranges words is because that's how he has created us to communicate with him. Not only with our emotions and our spirit, but with words. And so in this generation, in this Elijah generation, like never before, this generation, and I love it, Riley, when you lead worship. Because when you lead worship, you just have that sense of knowing that the words that you are saying and singing and declaring is the actual word of God. And it comes upon us in powerful ways. The last time you led worship, it was obvious. That's what I love about this generation. This generation knows how to express themselves in a connection with God through worship that my generation, our generation, learned in very elementary, minuscule ways. But is it exploding into this generation now? Do you realize that the millions of worship songs that are out there, literally, and many of them come out of spontaneous praise unto God? Why do I bring that up? Because they are words describing our destiny. Kingdom promises to this generation. I'm going to make this statement about the kingdom of God and your inheritance. In the kingdom of God, inheritance is what you own now. In the kingdom of God, inheritance is not something that you're going to get in the sweet by and by. But in the kingdom of God, inheritance is what you own now. What isn't yet is now. Every day you are activating your inheritance through your mouth. Every day, as we speak the words of God, both Logos and Rhema, the revelation of God as it comes to us, as we declare it, we are activating our inheritance. And I don't know about you, but I know that I have an inheritance, and I want to enjoy it now. And so I'm going to declare what the words are connected with that inheritance so that God can give to me exactly what he's promised to me now and for the generation, not only the young adults of this generation, but the children that are coming up. Speaking over them and declaring over them and calling out their destiny. Calling out their destiny. Speak it. Declare it. Live it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to turn back a couple of pages. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you realize that when you declare the Rhema of God, the revelation of God, and you declare the destiny of God for you, and you declare the inheritance that God has promised to you, when you declare that, it is as if God is speaking himself. You are speaking the very words of God. If anyone ministers, if, and yes, we will, and do, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if anything juices me up and turns my crank, it's that. Because I know the very words that I'm sharing with you this morning came as revelation to me a long, long time ago, and I'm just sharing it with you again and again and again and again. It's a great mystery, the revelation of God and the kingdom of God and how it comes to us. Do you remember when all of this began for Jesus? Back in John chapter 2, you remember the situation? It was a wedding. And the people come to Mary and those that are in charge of the wedding, and they say, we're out of wine. And they're looking at Jesus. And what did he say? My hour has not yet come. So just be quiet. Wait. But then all of a sudden, something happened. Under the revelation of God, Mary said, whatever he says, do it. That was a revelation of God to Mary concerning her son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And this is the key. By revelation, Mary knew it was time. By revelation, you know it's time. Rory, I was talking to you the other day, and I could just sense that by the revelation of God that he is bringing you into in your church in Oklahoma City or in Norman, as you minister in that place, you and Breezy together along with many others, you know, you just have it in you. You know it's time. It's time for something to explode through the giftings that God has called you into. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. And talking to you, Emily, I know the same for you. It's true. That's what I love about this young adult generation, because they desire and want to have an intimacy with God like I have never known or experienced in my own life. And so I want to encourage them in that, and I want to encourage all of us together. It's not just for the young adults. It's for us older adults as well. That we would recognize that the very revelation that God has given to us that is fresh is given to us for a reason, not to keep for ourselves. And when he says it's time, you declare it. You speak it. You pronounce it. You preach it. So what's the principle? In the kingdom of God, you will be activated by God to initiate something out of your available inheritance into someone's life. I want to repeat that. In the kingdom of God, you will be activated by God to initiate something out of your available inheritance into someone else's life. Your inheritance isn't just for you. It's for everybody else to enjoy. We tend to be selfish when it comes to inheritance. So be ready for rapid fire suddenlies. Generation, young and old, be ready for rapid fire suddenlies of revelation, rapid production and reproduction. Yeah, the words of God are important. Pay attention. The voice of God is important. Pay attention. Declare your destiny. Be in your notes. Words stimulate thirst and hunger for intimacy with Father. And I listed probably a dozen or more scriptures there for you to look at. And I'm only going to look at a couple of them, okay? So let's turn. Incidentally, what I did a long time ago is I went through the Gospel of John and just began to jot down every verse of scripture that described Jesus in his hunger and thirst for intimacy with Father. So we'll begin with John chapter 5, the very first scripture. And then I'll pick a couple of more as time allows. And we're just about out of time, so you'll see me scooting through this. Okay? John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now wait a minute. Here you have God coming in the flesh as God, and he is saying, he is announcing, he is declaring, "I can't do anything of myself." Now, could have he? Yeah, he could have, but he chose not to, and that's important for us as well. We can do things by ourselves, but we would choose not to. Why? Because it never amounts to anything when we choose anything out of ourselves. And so we submit to Father. And he says, but what he sees, what Father sees, what he sees, what the Son, what I see Father doing, whatever he does, that's what I do. I copycat Father. I just watch what Father's doing and I copy what he's doing. That's a good word, by the way. So as I listen to the voice of God and his words concerning the destiny for me and for you, and I declare those words, I pay attention, I listen to what Father is saying, and I watch what Father is doing. And then I just copy what he is saying. I declare and speak what he is saying. I do what he is doing. Last Wednesday morning, I saw Father gathering around Justin and Tara, coming next to them, alongside them, making declarations over them. And before we got together with Justin and Tara, I was listening. I was hearing what God was saying. And he was saying, "War! It's time to declare war!" And that's what we did. Yeah, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I love Isaiah 42. I just love this. Isaiah 42:13. "The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal." You didn't know God had zeal to be stirred up? Yeah, he does. "He stirs up his own zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout. He shall prevail against his enemies." Does that kind of suggest to you that it's time to pay attention to the voice of God and declare war against the enemy? I think so. Let's look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And Jesse, I see that you're taking notes. That's good. Your aunt, Sherilyn, she's sitting back there. And when Sherilyn was your age and she was sitting in church with Mama, she would take notes like that. And I still have a file of her notes when she was your age. Yeah. John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. If I do not do the works of my Father, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. That's a good test for each one of us. We look at each other and all of the doing stuff that we're involved in. And if we're not doing the works of the Father because we're listening and seeing and watching what Father is doing, then don't believe it. Don't come alongside it. Don't support it. Verse 38. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. What did I just say a little while ago? I'm just as near to Father as Jesus is. So what does that tell you? What does that tell me about what God wants done through us? The same thing that he is doing, he wants done through us. Look at chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. Chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. He gave me words, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as Father has told me, I speak. And in another place in John chapter 17, he says, the very words that I spoke to you, now you speak them. Yeah. So God is with me as much as he is with Jesus, where I am, you are 100% covered with his presence. It is always his will to be with you. Wow. All right. Last but not least. Get into alignment. That's the third step. And I got 5 minutes. A little Greek word there. Katartizo. Say it with me. Katartizo. Literally, it means alignment. It's a Greek word used and translated in Scripture that refers to alignment, to set in place something that is out of place. It means to set a broken bone. When a bone is broken, you put it in place. It means restoring the fallen. It means equipping the saints. Ephesians 4, we're talked about equipping the saints for the work of ministry. The word for equipped there means to set in order, to get into alignment for the work of ministry. It speaks of a seasonal alignment with the season of God, aligning with the seasons of God so that nothing goes unfinished. It carries with it a finishing anointing, if you please. Here's what's happening. In this generation, people are pregnant with the presence of God. In this generation, people are pregnant with intercession. Radical remnant. Ryan, I can't wait to hear the stories that you have to tell us about what God did and is doing as a result of your outreach and ministry as you went into those different places and ministered God's presence. The supernatural, your willingness to connect through intercession before God, and then how he used you to do his work, to be his hands, to be his voice, to be his feet. Yeah, I can't wait to hear about that. And do I get a bow tie? Okay. Notice that today is Bow Tie Sunday. I missed the announcement somewhere. Okay, but what does the accuser do? The accuser continues to make accusations that you will never make it, you're not good enough, your voice is ridiculous, forget it. No. So what is God doing? What God is doing in and through this generation is shutting the mouth of the destroyer. What God is doing for us and with us and in us and through us in this generation, with this generation, and we are included, is shutting the mouth of the destroyer. Isaiah 61:2. God is delivering his vengeance. God is pouring out his vengeance. And so he is calling us as never before to prevail and travail for this generation. Travail, prevail, prevail, travail. Why? What does it mean to travail? You're crying out to God for that which is not the nature and character of God, of everything that's going on around us. That's katartizo. Setting into alignment. Measuring up to, coming into alignment with the nature and character of God. Everything. Be in your outline, no more delay. A number of months ago, in fact, it's a year ago right now, Gary Thompson gave me a CD by Dutch Sheets, and the title of the CD was No More Delay. I've listened to it probably a half a dozen times, Gary. And every time I listen to it, I realize that what God is saying to this generation is that he is shutting the mouth of the devourer, and not only that, he is saying, and there is no more delay. No more delay. No more delay. Speak it. Every day of your life, when you look at things that God is breaking apart and breaking down and destroying, no more delay. Now, God, the promises that you gave to me, no more delay. The promises that you gave to Tara and Justin to have a child and Garrett. Garrett is going to be a great prophet of God, no matter what the circumstances is, but he is going to be the voice of God for his generation. He is going to be raised up as a man of God to speak for the little children of this coming generation. Yes, no more delay. No more death. This is a season of breaking curses. This is a season of breaking every curse that has come against us. Never been a season of more prayer and worship. Do you realize all of the different prayer rooms, and praise God we have a prayer room being raised up in this city. It isn't yet what it will be, but as the body of Christ comes together and learns more about how to participate together in prayer, there will be a breaking loose, a pouring out of the anointing of God upon this city like never before. No more delay. Do you get it? No more delay. I think there comes a point of time, in fact, as I know, based on the Word of God, when you come to that place of conviction, when you know it's time, and you just say, I refuse to give in to any more delay. This is going to be the revelation of God now, and I am going to see it happen. Yeah. I could get excited about this. So the Lord rebuke you, devourer. The Lord rebuke you, devourer. No miscarry. No breach. No stillborn. No more death. No. Instead, Father God, fulfill your promise. Release the mantles. Yes. Yes, Ryan, I have to come back to you. There's a fresh anointing and mantle that has come upon you because of your faithfulness and willingness to be obedient when you went to France to say, you know what, I think I need to stay here and go through this training. When I heard that word, I said, you know what, there's a fresh mantle anointing coming over Ryan. And we're going to see it. I just love this. One of the things I love about this generation is because they understand marketplace ministry. Ryan and Riley and Ryder's going off to college, but those three guys, they understand marketplace ministry, taught them well by their father, but nonetheless, what is happening? There's a breaking forth of the anointing of God in the marketplace to reach the common man. Yes. No more delay. Mantles being released. A new breed is rising. A fresh produce of prophetic and apostolic evangelism A declaration will be made in certain areas that will come through the word, the spoken and the written, the revelation of God through the Rhema word. Yes, there will be martyrs, but they will be glad. They will die gladly, fearlessly, boldly. And so will we. And guess what? Many of them are coming to us. And they're coming soon. And I'm going to close with this. Some of you probably remember when I taught on the significance, the meaning of the Shemitah, the time of celebration of the feasts and everything, and particularly the 50-year Jubilee. Every 7 years, Israel was supposed to let the land rest, and the judgments that come to the nation that to the nation, and when they don't do that, and the whole book, The Harbingers, by Jonathan Cahn, yeah, and then his second book, The Shemitah. Incidentally, we are moving right now into the Feast of Tabernacles, a very, 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 very significant time. Open your eyes, open your ears. From now through the month of October, we're going to see and hear things happen that to this point we haven't seen or heard that will shake the world. Fact is, it's going on right now. Do you think that it was just an accident the Pope was visiting in Washington, D.C. and going to the United Nations and speaking and all of that? No. That's design. There's something political going on with the religious institutions of the world that are coming together in one place to listen to these voices, whether they be of God or not. There's a shaking going on behind the scenes, undertones. So, Father God, I come before you right now, and I just thank you that there is no more delay.